You're listening to Savor on the Jefferson Exchange. My name is Will Smith. I'm your host. This is where we talk about food. I always like to try to keep it local. Today, I'm very happy to have fellow Southern Oregonian by way of France and proprietor of the Cheese Cave in Phoenix, Oregon, Melody Picard.
Bonjour.
Thank you for being here so much. Now, we got to do a show. It's probably 5 years ago, or maybe.
Yeah, 4 to 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah, which is so great. And we didn't get to meet in the studio because it was during COVID.
Exactly.
So it's nice to have you here in person. One of my favorite shops between here and Medford, right in Phoenix, right downtown, right on the main drag.
Sure is.
And when we first spoke, I had visited you in the shop, and it was such a little tiny little hole in the wall. And you had told me that you were dreaming of expanding and getting a little bit more space.
Exactly.
And that has happened.
That has happened.
So great. So tell us a little bit about the space.
And, oh, so yeah. So I went from the tiny little cheese shack, moved literally next door. So from 310 to 312 North Main Street in Phoenix, from 200 square foot space to 1500 square foot space.
Yay.
And so yeah, for more cheese.
Yes.
Mostly. Yeah. For more cheese. And but it was a little too big for me, so now I'm sharing the space with another business. But it's nice to have more selections for people.
Yes, and great to have a co-tenant that's there, so you're not lonely.
Exactly. Yeah, we get a little too fun, I guess.
Right, I'm sure. And it's a cafe, so people are always coming in.
Yes.
And so I think that's the fun part about the cafe, is that you'll have unexpected kind of fans come in that don't know that you were there. Or...
Oh yeah, Phoenix Drip Cafe. It's very cool and very different. It's a specialty foods like I do.
Sure.
She does all plant-based. So, and then I have plant-based cheese because I, you know, bring cheese to the people, yeah. All the cheese to all the people. So, everybody gets cheese.
So good. So tell us a little bit about where you grew up.
I grew up in Le Havre. And this is the second biggest port of France. It's in Normandy, or Normandy, and, as people know it.
And a huge cheese area.
And well, Normandy definitely is.
Yes.
It's like the dairy land of France.
Yes.
I would say maybe the Wisconsin of France.
Yeah, lots
different
of pasture.
Connotation. Yeah, lots of pasture, lots of cows, and very famous for butter, for cream, in their dishes as well. And so, yeah, and then cheese, the camembert cheese being one of the most famous ones.
Yeah. What was the impetus for you to get into the actual retail aspect of cheese?
And well, I needed to bring cheese to the people my way.
I love that.
You know, not being snob about, like, vegan cheese, for example.
Sure.
And cutting cheese on the fresher kind of aspect and wrapping it in proper paper.
Right.
You know, things like that. Like, just to make the cheese happier and then tastier for people.
I have to tell you, there is something about vacuum-packed. It could be a high quality.
Yeah.
But if it's really tightly packed, it changes. I can tell it almost looks like the cheese is in shock.
Well, yes. Vacuum seal is not as big as a problem as the flimsy little paper wrap, plastic wrap.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's so flimsy that really lets the light and the heat come through.
All right.
So when it sits around, it just kind of absorbs the plastic.
Sure. Sure.
And vacuum seal, same thing for harder cheeses, not too bad of a problem, but for the softer things, yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, I understand the legalities of it, but it's just not the same.
What is the status now with raw milk?
It's cheeses? The same, which is when a raw milk is pretty much not allowed in the country when it's less than 60 days old.
Huh.
So the fresher.
Okay.
After that, it transforms and it's, you know, considered safer for consumption, which, I mean, we're so sanitized these days that I don't think it's a massive problem. There's definitely more problem from a bag of spinach than it'll be from raw milk cheese.
Yes, definitely.
But it is a sensitive, you know, topic and a taboo and something that hasn't really been addressed. And right now you see even less of it because, you know, the world economy being what it is, a lot of the things that don't sell as much just don't come as much. So you have the raw milk cheeses, you have the goat, the blue.
I was living in New York City and I had a dear friend who is from Troyes in Champagne.
Yeah.
And this was in the winter time, and he would keep all his cheeses on a board with a big bowl over them, and he would keep them on the fire escape outside.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is so great. But he was the one that really turned me on to all of these obscure cheeses that I just didn't have any experience with.
And the Americans are making quite a ways in all those specialty cheese and artisanal cheeses across the country. They're still very hard to find and quite expensive because making anything in this country is very expensive.
Sure, sure.
But the traditions in Europe are just older. And like this is a cheese, a cloche. Mm-hmm. Is that dome, that glass dome, a cloche. My grandfather always had a camembert in a box that would slide and kind of tighten around the cut piece.
So interesting.
And I don't have his. I have an example of his in my shop. But
love that.
And it would just sit on the counter. It was never refrigerated.
Right.
And it was raw, fresh, Normand artisanal camembert.
Yeah, I mean, that is something that people don't really talk about. There is a thing about temperature.
Yeah.
And the warmer temperatures are
whenever
really nice.
It brings on sweating,
yes,
moisture.
Yeah.
That's what creates all the extra things. So the change of temperature as well, even if it doesn't get too warm, but getting things in and out of the fridge, and it's very sensitive thing, yeah.
Very cool. So what was it? Well, how did you find your way to Oregon?
And, I wanted to be a Hollywood actress. I decided when I was 12.
Yes.
And I moved to San Francisco when I was 20. And lived in San Francisco for 6 years and then in L.A. for almost eight.
So amazing.
And then in L.A. I found a calling in wine and cheese.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, exactly. it turns out I'm very good at customer service for my acting skills.
Yes, that is good. That's half the battle. For everybody, you're listening to Savor on the Jefferson Exchange. My name's Will Smith. I'm your host, and my guest today is Melody Picard of The Cheese Cave in Phoenix. So something that I wanted to get straight for people, because it is kind of, I think, for people who don't have a background of trying cheeses, and I mean, we don't have that history here in this country. And it is such a beautiful thing. I especially enjoyed that as a after dinner.
Yeah.
I'm diabetic, so I don't usually have dessert, but
exactly.
To have a really beautiful cheese after dinner,
exactly.
That's a beautiful thing.
That is the traditional way of having it in Europe. It's more of a pre-dessert to dessert kind of enjoyment.
I love that.
I've always thought it was the concept of a digestive.
Yes.
Like it's helping break down all the food you just ate.
Yes, and it's also slowing it down.
Yeah.
There is such a beauty of slowing things down.
Exactly.
And I think that's one of what that cheese course can kind of do, is just slow everybody down, which is great.
Exactly.
So you want to go over what would make a great cheese
board,
course, or board?
Yeah. And I offer specialty expertise for people in my shop.
Yeah.
I'm always there, and I have always ready for you to take home something that you like and enjoy, or for you and your guests too. So that's the experience I offer, the customization of, you're not going to go home with something you're not going to appreciate.
Right.
And because so you want, maybe three cheese, an odd number is always nice. And then if you like a variety, it's always good to have different types of milk and different types of textures.
Okay.
So that's fun, to have a little game.
Is it important to have it on a certain type of surface rather than another? A plate is fine?
And plates are probably, like ceramic plate is probably the best.
Okay.
Something that doesn't have any ridges.
Okay.
So it doesn't get like stuck in the hook and crannies of the plate. And metal, even if it's food safe, the scrapings.
Sure.
Same thing with the wood, unless you have very well-finished board for cutting. It's always nice also to pre-cut things for your guests.
Yes, I like that
too. So it's not
too
messy, because there's some cheeses that can't do that too.
Sure.
But, the more practical, the better.
So something in a hard family that's that's kind of aged longer.
Exactly.
Then something soft and creamy.
Exactly. So either like a spread or a Blumy Rhine, like a Brie or Camembert or triple cream, you know, that's a good one. And then a Bleu.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
We do make a fantastic Bleu around, I hear.
Yes.
Famously. Yes. Local pride.
Much to the chagrin of my French friends.
It was hilarious. It was. You know, the Europeans were just so up in arms.
They were so mad.
An American won Best Cheese in the World 2019 with a Bleu cheese wrapped in grape leaf and soaked in pear liquor. But it's a beautiful piece of art. It's a wonderful cheese. It totally deserved to win.
It is.
And it makes the pride of Southern Oregon.
Right.
Yeah. Puts Oregon on the map cheese-wise.
Exactly.
Take that, Wisconsin.
So besides the plate, you have your three cheeses. What other types of things can you add to this to kind of amplify the experience?
The classic French way really is just bread. You know, it's like having a cheese fondue, bread. But then it's fun to add a little extra things to reveal the certain flavors with the cheese or whatever you're drinking with the cheese, kind of make them complement each other with a little bridge.
Okay.
So if you have that Rogue River Bleu, and then you have a little Marionberry, which is very Oregon, you know, a little jam, then the Bleu talks to your red wine very well.
I like that.
It doesn't always, you know, because I love going to fancy wine events and people are like, oh, wine and cheese. And I'm like, well, actually, beer goes better with cheese.
I love that.
Because all the beer will go with all the cheese.
Yeah, because that wine really changes the flavor of the cheese and vice versa.
Exactly.
I mean, I do love the red wine with the Bleu. I always think that that's really nice. But besides the beer, if you were doing a white wine, is there a white wine that would you stay away from whites?
Well, no, not at all. I can pair cheese with anything.
Yes.
You know, any kind of drinks, hot drinks. Your favorite TV show. I can pair cheese with anything. So it's just, and it's all, the key about pairing is you have to like it. I mean, if you're not a beer drinker, none of it is going to go together.
Right.
But, you know, white wine, yes. I mean, traditionally, a lot of the softer, lighter cheeses, the goats and the sheep, you know, really do love some lights, some whites.
Okay.
It's so funny, it's just pairing color.
Right.
But it just, and some cheeses will go with everything.
Sure.
But, oh yeah, no, you can definitely find something. And so people like sometimes, you know, tell me like, oh, I'm having this wine. And I'm finding cheeses that go with that.
Yeah, that's great.
It's just like really, it's the custom aspect of the customer service.
And that's the beautiful thing is having you to hold our hands through this experience.
Exactly.
Because it is kind of, you know, when you're buying cheese that's wrapped up at a store, you have no idea what you're really buying unless you have an experience with it.
Exactly. I mean, at my shop, you know, I have samples laying around. Yeah. I can't open anything that I cut very easily.
Being in Phoenix, Phoenix is kind of coming around.
Yes.
What is the fun event that you had mentioned to me?
I opened 7 years ago, and people were like, you're opening at what, where?
Exactly.
You know, and Phoenix was very much a drive-through town, and they were just starting to take some steps with the road diet and all that, trying to boost, and then COVID happened, and then the fire happened, and it definitely put a hiatus and a stop and everything.
Sure.
But in the last 3 years, it's been pretty cool to see what's developing there. I feel like I started it a little bit, but
totally. I think that's
especially
very
the food
true.
Scene.
Yeah, and more and more and more and
exactly.
more.
Exactly, and we're trying to bring more. You know, the new mayor and half the new city council, very motivated in bringing more to support also the changes that have happened to Phoenix with new people.
Sure.
New people live there.
I could speak to you for an hour.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we're out of time right now.
Exactly.
I want to thank Melody Picard. Please go visit her at the Cheese Cave in Phoenix, Oregon. You've been listening to Savor on the Jefferson Exchange. My name is Will Smith, and you can find us at jeffexchange.org, on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, eat well.